Okay. So today we're going to start in Matthew 5:3. I've been just slowly reading through Matthew, and I got to the Beatitudes, you know, and the service or the Sermon on the Mount, and this verse stuck out to me, and it's been one that I've always kind of, I don't know, I've heard people teach on it, but I haven't fully really understood it. So I dug a little deeper. I'm going to share some things with you, and you may already know this stuff. Hopefully it's a good reminder. But the verse that's, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And it's something probably most of us have heard quoted and said. And I honestly never really grasped the meaning with this and what being poor in spirit meant. It sounds like just, you know, lacking, like not having anything, right? Being poor. And so in the translation that I've been reading through, the Passion Translation, the writer was commenting on this specific verse, and in the Passion uses some different language. And so in the Passion, this is how it reads: "What happiness comes to you when you feel your spiritual poverty?" And not as a question, this is as a statement. So, "What happiness comes to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For theirs is the realm of heaven's kingdom." And the writer started unpacking like spiritual poverty. In the other translation, the NIV was poor in spirit, spiritual poverty. And if you just end right there, it sounds like it's just those who are lacking, right? They're empty. But what he started explaining was it can also be translated humble in spirit, which means to be humble and totally dependent on God for everything. He also said like pious or saintly, not just in the sense of having nothing, but recognizing your need for God. So recognizing your lack and that you are reliant on him. So he said another way you could put it is, delighted are those who have surrendered completely to God and trust only in him. So it's not just blessed are those that are lacking in spirit. It's blessed are those that recognize their need for him and are completely dependent upon him. And that, I don't know if that helps you, but sometimes that verse just kind of felt like, okay, so we're just looking for people who have a lack and then they're blessed. But and though God's pouring out blessings, it just felt like there was something missing in that. And so as he was explaining it, like, delighted are those who have surrendered completely to God and trust only in him. So theirs is the kingdom of heaven or heaven's kingdom. And so that what I just want to talk about and pull out some other verses for is this idea of recognizing our need. Being poor in spirit is recognizing that I have a need that only God can fill. And when we recognize that, there's also action, because then we enter into relationship and we go closer to him saying, I need you, right? It's not just blessed, like people are going to be blessed if they have nothing. And that's what it kind of felt like. And I've heard people teach on it, but I always came back to this verse and it just, I don't know, for me, it felt confusing. It takes me sometimes 39 years, you know, like to kind of wrap my mind around concepts in the Bible. You know, and sometimes they sound so simple and they're thrown out like this language and they're used so much. And I'm like, I don't really know what you're talking about here. So this was an aha moment for me. If it's not for you, you're smarter than I am, which is probably true. So he pulled out some verses from Isaiah that I want to go to that use this same language. In Isaiah 57:15, and this is going to be in the ESV version. So Isaiah 57:15 reads like this: "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." And so here's the quotation marks. This is God speaking. "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit." to receive the spirit, or sorry, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. So I'm gonna read that again, because there's a lot packed in here. I dwell, God speaking, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. And so in this, he's saying that I dwell in the holy places and I dwell there with people who are contrite and low of spirit. And so that lowly spirit is the same type of thing of those who recognize their need. And being contrite means recognizing and being repentant. You're feeling guilt and you're repentant of that guilt. So he's saying, like, I dwell there with those that are contrite and lowly spirit, those that are humbled, and to revive the spirit of the lowly. So this is my understanding of this verse, and you might have heard it, you know, taught differently, but my understanding is in this, it was God could possibly be talking about Jesus in this, but I don't think Jesus was contrite. He wasn't repentant. So though Jesus, like, is going to be the one that helps those that are low in spirit and revive the heart of the contrite, I think he's talking to the people of that time. So it's in Isaiah. So the people of that time, like, those who recognize their need for me, those that recognize they need me and they are repentant, are going to join me in helping the others who are lowly and repentant. So I think that speaks to us as well. You know, we can't take everything in all the Old Testament and apply it to us now, but I think going back to that verse in Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to delight in him when we recognize our need for him and we are repentant and we come to him, right? And in that we have access to heaven's kingdom. We have access even now to his kingdom. And we even now, it says in other verses, we are dwelling with Christ, in Christ, in the heavenly places, right? So we are here, but we're also there. And part of our job is to also help other people recognize their need for him and helping other people who are lowly to be able to come to him and be fulfilled and satisfied. Is that thumbs up? That's kind of connecting. Okay. So
contrite.
Yeah, that word contrite, like, is used a lot, and I was like, what is contrite? So I had to use the dictionary and find out, but it's repentant. Some people who are broken down and feeling guilty, but they are repentant. So also with him who is contrite and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. So once we recognize our need and we repent and turn to God, we then can help other people repent and turn to God. Right? If I haven't given my life to God, how can I lead somebody to him? Right? I can't, you know, if I haven't recognized my need, and I think that one of the things that, for me in this, you look at people who are super, super religious, like those Pharisees, they didn't recognize their need for God. Right? They were religious. They were pompous. They weren't saintly and holy. They were and really dedicated to God. They were religious in what they were doing as a show, you know? And so they were actually leading people to Jesus, leading them to salvation because they didn't recognize their need. They felt like they had everything they needed. Throughout our entire lives, we're going to continue to recognize our need for him. That's never going to go away. I don't think we're going to get to, okay, in this month, oh, I'm totally full. No, we always are going to recognize without him, I'm nothing, right? I am lowly in spirit. I am humbled recognizing that I need the Father, recognizing that I need the Spirit, recognizing that I need the Son. I need relationship with him constantly because without him, I'm nothing. I want to flip to Isaiah 66, verse 1 through 2. So Isaiah 66, verses 1 to 2. And it says this, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what's the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. So all these things come to be. Sorry. And so all these things come to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So in this, God's saying, like, I am the creator of all of this. What do you have to actually do for me? You know, he's speaking to the people, like, what do you have to actually do for me? Like, you, like creating a home for me, you, like, that's not actually helping me. I've created everything. But what I'm looking for, what I'm seeking out, is not a home to dwell in and rest. I don't need rest like that. I'm looking for somebody who is humble and contrite, repentant. And humble, the definition for humble is knowing who we are in light of who God is. When we know who he is, we know where we stand in his presence, who we are in him, right? Without him, we are nothing. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Who respects God. You know, that's what he's looking for. Somebody who's humble, recognizes their need, contrite, repentant, and turning their hearts to God, trembles at his word, reveres him, respects him. That's what God's looking for. So now I want to go to John 15:5. We're kind of bouncing around a lot here. But John 15:5, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In the Passion, it says, I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you are separated from me, you are powerless. And it goes back to that thing, like Jesus saying, like, you need me. Without me, you're nothing. And that's not God being, having an ego. You know, God can think as highly as he wants about himself because he is everything, right? For me, if I told you guys that you need me, that's pretty pompous. But from God, that's the truth. We do need him, and we need to be connected to him. And I like how it says, those who are separated from me are powerless. We can't really do anything without him. It doesn't mean that we won't accomplish things in the world, but what things actually matter, we have no impact. So we have to be connected to him. He is our source. Then in Psalm 73:26, and I'm sorry, I didn't look at who actually wrote this psalm, but Psalm 73:26, the writer says, my heart may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. So my physical heart, who I am, I'm weak. My spirit might grow weak. My heart might fail, but God is my strength, even in the midst of that, right? And it goes back to that idea that we desperately need him. In and of ourselves, just our spirits and our hearts are weak. They're going to be frail. They're going to fail us. But in him, that's where we have power, you know, connected to him. I was talking to a young guy today that I connected to, not one that I've told you guys about before, but connected to in Uganda. And he was just sharing this feeling that he has, not of God being distant for him, but him feeling like he's not connected, you know, that he just hasn't been really spending time. And he was really beating himself up over that, you know, in his head, and feeling like he's not good enough for the relationship that he has with God, right? God's doing what he can, but he's not showing up. And I said, but you are showing up in that you recognize now, like, you want more, right? And so I said, you reached out to me and we set up a time to talk. And I said, because you're recognizing you want more in this relationship, but you're not sure what to do. And that's a desire of your heart. You haven't let go of this connection with God. You haven't let go of it. And I think we can be really hard on ourselves, and we have this expectation of what this relationship should look like. And if it doesn't look that way, we're really hard on, I'll just speak for myself, I'm really hard on myself. And this young guy that I was talking to, he's really hard on himself. And I said, but what do we have? We have today. We have now. And that's why, like, for us to continue to get together and just talk about the word, to talk about scripture, to talk about God in our lives, the importance of this is because it continues to remind us and keep it at the forefront of our thinking. It's so easy to get so busy in everything that's happening, so overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. And back to like the message I spoke last week was about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is our journey. He is truth revealed, right? Divine truth. He's life, both physical and spiritual. Like, we need him so much. And getting together is not always about like these crazy revelations that may come from Scripture. It's so that we're on the same page. It's so that we continue to move forward. It's so that we keep God at the forefront of our minds. Because if not, it's easy to get wrapped up in trying to just do things on our own strength, getting wrapped up in the stress of the moments, getting wrapped up in being successful or getting projects done, which we all do, right? Or just being super tired, or, you know, like, it gets focused on us. And so when we come together, even for 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, we get to look at Scripture together and say, like, remember this. You know, remember that Jesus says this. Remember that this is who he is, right? Remember these stories. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not thinking about it constantly every moment of every day. I would love to get to that place, you know? Like, I really would. I would love to get to the place where, like, he's constantly on my mind. But, like, we are pushing in. And by showing up and continuing in relationship like this with each other, but also pursuing his truth, that's how we continue to grow, right? That's how we don't lose sight of what's important. So that being said, I'm just saying, us showing up here, even, you know, the 10 of us that are here, it is significant. It is important, because not only do we need him, right? And I am low of spirit. I am humbled because without him, I'm nothing. But we also need each other. We need to hear from each other. We need to hear each other's wisdom, be reminded by truth. And I love how lately in our talks and our conversations, people have just been bringing out, you know, more things and sharing what's sticking out to them or what's challenging. Because you're not only going to learn from me, you know, whoever's teaching, we all have things to share, you know, how God's showing up in our lives. How are we continuing to keep that posture of humility, right? Not, and it, I think it's different. I think sometimes we get to this place like, oh, I need to feel like, oh, woe is me. I am so lowly. I am so worthless. That's not what the Scripture is talking about. And there's been many, like, times in the, you know, early church and even today, but like the people that just feel this need to, like, I don't know if you've seen the picture of people whipping themselves, right? Like, suffering for God and, like, sitting in these ashes, right? And these things that people used to do. And this thing of, like, continuing to remind ourselves, like, oh, I'm so lowly. I'm worthless. I'm so, you know, God, more of you, like, less of me. It's not about, I feel like that's a lot of that can be end up being false humility, because it really is kind of like showing people, you know, it seems to be more about show. Like, look how much I've hurt myself for him, you know, like those different things. And I'm not saying we do that in that same physical way, but I think sometimes we feel this need to feel low so that God can be high. And I don't think that's what this is. And I think with humility, it's recognizing that he is God and that I am not, and that I desperately need him every day. Absolutely. Without him, I am nothing. But in him, I'm more than a conqueror. Right? In him, because it says, without me, separated from me, you are powerless. But connected to me, what are we? Powerful. And so it's not about thinking low of ourselves. It's recognizing, without him, yes, I am nothing. But I'm not without him. I have him. And how is that then? So to take it from there, I need you. And he's like, okay, great. So let me fill you. And now, because we have him, then we're able to step out in authority and power. And that's why, going back to that original verse I was talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I was thinking about that idea, and sometimes we think of, like, that the kingdom of heaven is mine. That means, yay, I'm going to go to heaven, right? Yay, salvation is mine. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom, you know, and he talks about the kingdom, there's that idea of like leaven getting into the bread and affecting all of it, right? The kingdom of heaven is like, and he gives these examples. It's the kingdom being here. So I think when they say this in the scripture, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, ours is the kingdom of heaven, it's the destination for sure, but it's also having access to the kingdom now, right? So we are headed to be there. Like when this life ends for us, it ends here physically, but we're with him forever. We know that, right? But that's not the only goal. The goal is how do we bring kingdom here? And the way that we bring kingdom here is recognizing that we need him. If I try to go and do all these amazing ministry things without him, and I just plow ahead, and I don't recognize every day, like, God, I need you. Thank you that you're mine. Right? Not, whoa, I'm so horrible. I'm such a horrible sinner. I'm so broken. God's like, I've made you whole. Live in that. But keep that knowledge that we need him. And without me, you're right. You are nothing. I don't know if that... Am I clicking? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think sometimes we read these scriptures and I can only speak for myself. I misinterpret them, right? It becomes something that like... also, it comes very confusing for me. You know, I am a words person, and until I can wrap my mind around a word, it just is a word, you know, for me. And so this idea of being poor in spirit has more meaning for me now, you know, recognizing that. And I, before teaching, I went on a walk and just to center myself and connect, because it's harder for me to sometimes do that in my house. I always think of everything I need to do and then avoid it, all the stuff I need to do. But if I go for a walk, I can't do those other things. But just removing myself from it and just recognizing, hey, God, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're mine. Right? Thank you for today. Thank you that we get to do this together. And asking those questions of... not just asking him for what you want, which that is important, because he says asking and receive, but I think also asking, what does God want for us? You know, like, God, I need you. I desperately need you. I recognize that need for you. How do you want to show up in my life today? How do you want me to access your kingdom? And these aren't questions that I'm constantly asking. It's just popping in my head right now, so I'm just going with it. But I think... and my dad has said this to me often, sometimes we're not asking the right questions. Because sometimes we're coming to God with this list of, this is what I want. The guy that I was talking to from Uganda, he was saying like he feels like his relationship with God is transactional. You know, it's kind of like, okay, God, you know, like I need you to do this for me. Like I'll show up and read my Bible and then you show up and you do this. And it's like it loses that fluidity and that organicness of a relationship, right? And sometimes we come to God saying, God, I need this. I need you to show up in this way. Instead of, God, how do you want to show up? Because maybe the way that he wants to show up isn't in our list and we're going to miss it. Right? When we recognize our need for him and we say, like, I need you to show up because without you, I'm powerless. So how do you want to have your kingdom show up in my life today? Right? I just think it would be a different question and being allowing him to then say, oh, this is what I actually want for you right now. This is how I want to show up for you. And so that's a challenge for myself to ask the right questions in that. But I feel like it all goes together because it comes back to that idea of when we recognize that we need him and he says he's looking for somebody with a contrite heart, we recognize we have a need for him, but it can't stop there. We turn to him, which we've all done, and said yes to him. You know, we've given ourselves to him. That's when the kingdom is able to show up in our lives. Right? Why would you go to God if you didn't know that you needed him? You know, like that doesn't make sense. There has to be something. You're like, without him, there is this gaping hole that only he can fill. Right? A God-shaped you know, space that only he can fill. And when we recognize that, then we're able to step into it. So anyway, I'd like to hear kind of what's sticking out for you guys to make sure that I'm coming across. I know I'm repeating myself a lot. It's what I do as a teacher, you know? So like, I feel like if we hear it 5 or 6 times a little bit different ways, then it sticks with us. but I want to encourage you before I open that up for what's sticking out to you is changing the question, right? If the kingdom of heaven is ours, asking God, how do you want to show up in my life today? How do you want to show up? And letting him be the one that he recognizes our need, our specific needs, far more than we do. Like, he knows what we actually need, right? And so, God, how do you want to show up? How do you want to meet my needs, you know, today? So, anyway, I'm writing that down because that's good and I don't want to forget that. So, but what's sticking out for you guys? So much stuff just there. It's just
I think sometimes we get tricked by this thought of like personalities, you know, like we meet people and we think, man, they're just such a humble person, right? Or they're so fill in the blank, right? There's these like characteristics that we kind of attach to, but I don't know. Maybe some of us have more propensity towards it, but humility is like love. It's an action. It requires practice and discipline. You learn humility. Some people, I get it. Some kids have a humility about them, and I think some people start off further down the road on some areas, but oftentimes I think somebody is positioning themselves in a certain way to learn these traits, like humility. It's like, how do we, it's like kind of like gratitude is not a personality thing. We choose gratitude, you know? And when we choose gratitude, we actually become more thankful. Like, and so I think humility, is like that. That there's ways that we can live our life to actually increase in humility or go lower, you know, in a sense. Which is just really, I think, our need, our recognition, need, and desperation for God. We wake up the next day because of choices we've made, and we feel our need for Him greater. And that's a good thing. I just think sometimes it's a trap, because I think the lie is like, man, some people are just more humble than others. And there's a lie in there for somebody, you know?
So maybe a question is for us, maybe not just what's sticking out, but what are ways maybe that you guys have practice that idea of humility, or continue to remind yourself of your need for Him, and to evaluate, like, what are some things that people have done, if that makes sense?
I I think the practice of reading the Psalms, they're written in desperation and in humility. And sometimes when we're able to read them, and then maybe you write, you know, so maybe you write Psalms or poetry afterwards, but to stir up those places, I think the practice of reading the Psalms will increase humility in life, in a heart, for sure. But
I think for me, like, what I've been trying to do is just kind of, I think it's hard to be, like, practice humility without being, like, honest. Otherwise, it's, like, false humility. So, for me, like, what I've been trying to do in, like, my, like, quiet time with God and stuff is just be, like, super honest with, like, where I am with, like, life and, like, relationship with God or, like, with other people, and just really try to pray into that and see what, like, God brings to mind during those times and just focus on that. Just because, like, I know there's, like, a lot of places where I lack, and, you know, like, God doesn't lack in anything. So it's just kind of, it's, like, doing that, but then also humbling yourself to know that there's, like, so much you can learn from just listening, you know?
That's great. I like that. So what I heard you say is, like, being vulnerable and just honest with where you are, but also listening, you know, positioning yourself in a place of, like, I recognize my needs, so I'm actually going to let you be what I need and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like, at least personally speaking for myself in the past, like, I've been like, oh man, like, I know I need this, and I pray about it. And then I'm like, well, I'm just going to go do something. And then next thing I know, I'm like, wait a second, like, nothing worked. What happened? And it's like, God's like, well, I wasn't asking you to do this, or, like, this wasn't the right timing for this. Like, you got to be patient. You got to, like, you can't just be like, hey, this is everything I need. Okay, cool. I'm going to go out and get it. You know, like, yes, there's a time and a place for being proactive in things, but it's like, it's one of those things, like, just picture it like you're having a conversation with a person and you're asking for advice on something. Like, if you don't listen to what their advice is, it's not going to help you in any way.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, say that part of being humble is just, like you said, recognizing need for Him and making God as your main priority in your life. And even when we're busy, if we make Him to be the main, you know, priority in your life, that's like recognizing that you need Him. And even though we are His creation and priceless, but without Him, we're lacking in power. And I remember one time God said that Christians without Holy Spirit is like an electrical tool without electricity.
Hmm.
It's still a cool creation. But yeah, we're lacking in spiritual ways and we can't do certain things.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
How useful is your vacuum cleaner if you don't have electricity? It's not very useful at all. So,
really good point. Yeah.
So I think for me, being humble is, you know, making time for Him when we are busy in my, you know, busy life, especially with the little baby right now and family. And so that's, I think that's what, you know, that's part of that for me. And just connecting with Him, like I said before, for me, His worship is how I connect with Him the most, you know, so making sure I find time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good. I think for all of us, like, even, I mean, showing up here is recognizing our need for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, none of us are showing up here to look religious, you know, like that's not the culture that we have. Like, we're not here to look apart, you know, and like to have all the, you know, perfect words to say. We're here to, because we're like, okay, I know I need this. I know I need him. I know I need to be connected to him. And when we do it together, not alone, like that gives strength. So us just being here is recognizing our need for him. Choosing above something else and putting him, like Eugene was saying, like a priority, you know, that's recognizing our need. That, you know, he's worth it.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say, the last couple of days, I think I'm going to take these off. Hold on. Okay, that's better. But anyway, last couple of days, I just felt really heavy and really sad.
Hmm.
And I think just, I mean, we're all aware of that, but the awareness just became really strong of just the state of the world, you know, and how many people are suffering. And has just made me feel so sad.
Hmm.
And but anyway, taking that time to have quiet time with God and really focus on him. And as I was doing that, it was just like the thought came, you are God and I am not. The feeling of I can't change it. I mean, in our small sphere, we can help, right? But just that awareness that he's God and I'm not. And I have to just not even, I'm thinking not even rest in him, but just be aware of that. And then, like you said, ask the question, you know, just direct me what I can do. What would you have me do, God? And, just the importance of spending time with him. And not that things didn't change that I could see, but after a period of time that he does lift that burden. I felt the burden lift, you know, and that he is at work. And, but anyway, for me, just really spending that time with him, you know, one-on-one, has been a lifesaver for me, so.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Mom.
Yeah.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be really quick. But I got really emotional because, like, when I think about, like I know what it's like to have a life without God. And I know what it's like to be hanging on the edge of, like, because, like, for a really long time I was atheist and I didn't really believe in anything. But I know what it's like to not have that strength to keep going because I didn't have anything to, like, follow back up and live with. I guess, sorry, I'm going to get, like, I'm, like, struggling. But I, like, I know what it's like to be without that strength, and I know what it's like to not have something that can keep holding me up or something to rely on even. And I have 100% found that in Christ and, like, his love and the love that he gives me consistently through the new way that I pray, just in the fact that, like, I'm able to, like, say, like, God, I love you and I love everything about you and I'm so grateful for you being in my life and being here with me and my daughter. Like, I have never, ever witnessed something so beautiful in my entire life, and something that I literally am not willing to give up for anything. And I know what it's like to be in a church where I thought I was following faithfully, but knowing that, like, at the end of the day, I was following blindly, and I was just hoping that everything was going to work out the way that it was being preached to. And it's not that that was wrong for someone else, but it was definitely wrong for me. And I guess, like last week when we were talking about stuff, like, I felt so strong to tell you guys, but, like, Rev is such a light for me because it's a place that I can come and be with Christ. And, like, I love you all dearly. But, like, his relationship is so important to me. It's so cool that I can sit with a bunch of people who love him just as dearly and as much as I do. I am so, so grateful for that. Getting something. This is a good place. And I don't know. I guess I just wanted to say that because it's been a lot. It's definitely, like, I'm definitely, like every, so, I don't know. This is just, like, my happy place. I think about it every week. I have therapy on Fridays, and those are never fun appointments. They are awful every single time. And I'm always aware that, like, at the end of the day, if I can't get through therapy by myself, I'm going to come to Rev on Sundays, and I'm going to be able to sit with Christ and the people that love him the most and be reminded of that love and that strength and take it into the next week. Like, this is such a cool place. Sorry. Like, wow. Trying to get through that.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I love y'all. I love being able to be reminded of him every fucking week. It's super awesome.
Yeah, likewise. Awesome, Jeff.
Wow, thank you. Yeah.
That gave me goosebumps.
Take my sniffling off to mute.
That was beautiful. Cool.